Good morning, church. How many of you guys have a leak roof yesterday? Too many? How many of you guys are spending your afternoon cleaning up your yard? Me? Oh, there you go. Before we begin, I want to welcome those who are watching online. I feel like we should have a church in Pennsylvania because I feel like more and more people are watching us from Pennsylvania. So all the Pennsylvanians, welcome, and all those who are not here today who are watching online for a variety of reasons. I'm glad you're tuning in with us, but also you here in person. Glad you're here. Glad you are here in person because there's nothing like preaching to nobody, you know? But I'm very aware and clear that I have an audience of one, right? So it's praising God, and I love our praise and worship because every Sunday I love how Lewis just draws us towards the cross, and that's it. And that's it. I love that. So appreciate you, as always. And it doesn't matter how fast the songs or how moving the lights are. Did you guys see the lights move? Like, that's big for us. I don't know if you guys, that's like cutting edge, okay? It's like cutting edge for us here. But it doesn't matter how fast the lights move and whatnot, the most meaningful songs tend to be the old hymns, you know, written, you know, 500, 800 years ago, 1600, you know, those are some of the most meaningful ones of all. Today's text is John chapter 2. Hold your place in John chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and Revelation 22. John chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and Revelation 22. So turn your Bibles there and hold your places there. Let's rock and roll. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples has also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus, best respond ever as a son. If you respond this way, you are going to get some kind of punishment. But Jesus responded, "Woman, dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you. Just do whatever he tells you." Which tells you something. Like, his mother knew that her son was special. Like, he'd done something in front of her before, so she knew Jesus was not normal. Well, she knew because the angel Gabriel told her, like, she's going to have a special son. But somewhere along the line between the age of 1 to the age of 30, Jesus did something for his mom to say, just do what he said, okay? And this would be a really good Mother's Day sermon, right? Doesn't matter who you are as a son, your mom will always be your mom, okay? Doesn't matter how successful or powerful you are, your mother will always be your mother, okay? So, but that's Mother's Day sermon. Let's get back to the text here. His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stones water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them up to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." So a wedding planner is nothing new like we experience today. Wedding planner exists back in the Bible, okay? So they had a wedding planner. Then they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miracle signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Okay, there's a lot of information there. I'm going to first tell you what it means, and I'm going to tell you what does that have to do with us. Okay? First, I'm going to tell you what does this mean, and then I'm going to tell you what does that have to do with us. But before I do that, we have some birthdays in the house, right? Michelle turned 25. today. All right, happy birthday. All right. And Caitlin, who's not in here, Caitlin in the back, also turned 25. No, she turns 12, but she acts like she's 25. For some reason, 12-year-olds always act like they're so much older, right? And you got to put them back into place. You're 12, okay? No, but happy birthday to Caitlin. She's in the back. So first, there's a lot of information going on here, and I want you to understand. And I'll tell you what it is, what it means, and then I'll tell you what it means for us. This is right after John the Baptist told everybody, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is just now leaving the desert, going right into the ministry of Jesus. John is very intentional in his letters. He wanted to show all of us, right, all the signs that Jesus was God, but he was fully man at the same time. Now, if the apostles had a hard time but also trying to convey this message to us, okay, so I'm not going to solve that problem for you today. I'm just going to read it from the text, and hopefully you walk away knowing that Jesus was fully God, and yet he was fully man. So last week you learned that Jesus was the Logos become flesh, so Jesus was God, and God became a flesh. Today is the second portraits of Jesus. We're going through a series called the Portraits of Jesus. Take note a couple of things. Where was the wedding? In Cana, okay? There was a masters of the banquet, which is a wedding planner, okay? And then there was jars, six of them, okay? And the wine ran out, and Jesus told the servants, Jesus' mother told the servants, let Jesus do something about it. And Jesus says, fill the jars up with water, and he turns the water into wine. The masters of the banquet says, people usually bring out the best choice of wine first, but you bring out the best last. And he gave credit to the bride and groom, not to Jesus. No one knew about this miracle except the mother of Jesus, the servants, his disciples, and Jesus himself. This wedding, probably someone close to them, maybe even a brother or somebody. For the entire family of Jesus was invited, even his apostles. So this wedding was by someone who was well known in the community, a rich one, someone who was wealthy, who invited a lot of people. And Jesus at that wedding turned water into wine. Now, if you came to church today, if you're watching online, looking for something inspirational, one-liner, and you can walk out of here happy, I got it for you. Here it is. If Jesus can change water into wine, he can change your life circumstances. Amen? All right, good. You're motivated. You feel at peace. You feel like, this is it. This is church. This is great. I feel great. Or do you want to know more? Okay, you want to know more. Good, I'm glad, because I have more. What if your circumstances doesn't change by the end of the day? Is Jesus still God in your life? Is he still God in our society? Is he still God at all? But isn't that generally what happens to us when it comes to Jesus? He is only as valuable as his ability to improve our circumstances. We assign Jesus the job. This is what we do, and unintentionally or intentionally, and I think sometimes the church does a terrible job of doing it as well, that we assign Jesus with this job as a motivational, feel-good antidote in our lives. And when we come to church, we want to hear the pastor say Jesus is with you, he's for you, and he wants to change your life, and he can change your circumstances. Okay, that's what we want to know and what we want to hear. And yes, the answer is yes, he can. He can. He certainly can. And he can change your circumstances by the end of today. But what if he doesn't? Is he still God? You know, and that is the problem with our culture is we make Jesus out to be, he's only as good as we can, like what he can do for us. Not Jesus as God. Let me tell you how you have this letter in hand. Grab your Bible. You have your phone. Just open your Bible. Okay, there's a Bible there. I want you to hold it. I want you to know this and feel this. Okay, just hold it for a second. The reason we have this in our hands, because John was in jail. When the book of John was written, he was in jail. The way that how we have this, he was in jail. Matter of fact, every single letter in the New Testament, when the pen touches the paper, death was at hand. Every single letter was written in a place where either they were imprisoned, they were lonely, they're being persecuted, lack of food, lack of clothes, lack of friends, and lack of families. Out of all the authors in the New Testament, I want you to know how special this is that you're holding in your hands. Out of every single one of them was hunted, sought after, and executed, but one, which was John, who died of natural causes. So why did they go at such length to write this so we can have it? And the only answer is this, because Jesus was God. But he was fully man. He walked among them. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He revealed himself as God in the flesh to redeem us back to him. And it's telling us in this story of changing water into wine. Most of us know the story as Jesus' first miracle. And we kind of stop there, which is okay. But everything about Jesus and what he's going to do, it's in this story. Several pictures I want you to understand and take notes right on the side of your Bible. There are 9 signs in this story that I want you to understand. The first sign is this. Third day of the wedding. On the third day of the wedding, Jesus showed his power. When there was no wine, the party ended. A huge disappointment. And Jesus showed his power. What did Jesus do on the third day of his death? He showed his power. Second sign, Cana is the land of Canaan, where Joshua defeated the 5 kings. You guys remember that? When Joshua marched into Canaan, he says, stop the sun, stop the moon. This location is the same exact location that Joshua conquered the land of Canaan, which you know by now that Joshua was a Jesus figure in the Old Testament. So this event takes at the exact same location, in the same vicinity. Sign number 3, 6 jars. For a Jew, okay, the jars were used for purification. So before Yom Kippur, every good Jew should know this, before Yom Kippur, or if they touch an animal, a dead animal, or a dead person, or somehow they've fallen into some serious sickness, they go to the jars presented by the priest to wash themselves as a sign of cleanliness, as a purification process. And they usually do this right before Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. 4th, wine. Jesus taught us at the Last Supper that wine represents his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Number 5, the bridegroom. Jesus often refers himself as the groom, that we are the bride, that the final destination for our lives is a wedding feast in heaven where Jesus brings us back to him. Number 6. It's not time yet. Jesus is referring to his death, but also he's referring to the final wedding in heaven. He says, it's not time yet, my woman. Mom, what are you doing? It's not my time. Number 7, water in the jars. This is for purification purposes, which represent his blood, which is what makes us clean. Before it was just water, now it's his blood, washes us once and for all. 8th sign, the apostle and his disciples will deliver this message, this good news to the people. And the final and last sign in this event is that the best final act from God. Jesus is the solution to a world that seems to always run out of answers or run out of excuses or to go after the cheap stuff. So in this wedding event, Jesus revealed to us he is God, yet in a flesh, as a man. He came to replace purification of water, just a temporary band-aid, with his blood, a permanent solution. On the third day after he died, it seems hopeless. The world ran out of excuses. God appeared to be defeated. But then Jesus rose from the dead. He redeemed us like a groom marrying us as his bride and bringing us into his kingdom. That's what this event meant. This is what the event supposed to illustrate to us. And John wanted the people to know who Jesus was. What does this have to do with us? How does this play into our lives today? The message to us in this event is from the wedding planner. Listen to what the wedding planner said. John chapter 20, verse 10. Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after. The guests had too much to drink, but you have saved the best until now. The reason they usually serve the best of wine first, because after a couple of rounds, your taste buds becomes numb, so they bring out the cheap one, because no one will know the difference. But the wedding planner says, why are you serving the last wine first? Listen, I'm a huge fan of audio. And movie theaters and home surround sound, okay? Liz can attest to this. Every time I buy a new home surround sound, I would stay up all night putting it together. I even read the manual when that time comes, all right? Which is like a rarity. I even read the manual when it comes to surround sound stuff. I walk in here almost every week to make sure everything just sound just right. I was a youth pastor. Just got my second, third paycheck. I can't remember. I was leaving Whole Foods over here on Glades Row. How many of you guys have been to Whole Foods? Okay, right over here. I was leaving Whole Foods. A van pulled up. Nicely decorated, right? Home audio visual. It's like, wow, that caught my eyes right away. And for some reason, right, every guy, salesman, would pick out that every Asian likes surround sound or something. He stopped right in front of me, and he said, hey, you look like you really like surround sound stuff. I said, matter of fact, I do. So he said, I got a deal for you. I said, okay, what is it? He opens up the back of the van, which is big mistake, right? No, don't ever buy something from the back of someone's van. But here I am. He opens the back of his van. He showed me this big surround sound system with still in the box, brand new, shiny, you know, speakers about yay high, and has all the cable. He's like, man, this is the best. I only have two left. We usually sell it for $1,200, but for you, we got to get home. You know, we're just trying to dump this. $300, you can have it. Being an Asian that I am, surround sound, yes. Okay, I don't have any cash on me. He said, well, there's an ATM. Somehow they knew there was an ATM. In Whole Foods, just go to the ATM, grab $300, we'll wait here for you. I said, okay. Now, I was excited because this is like the big surround sound system that I'm going to have in my house. I can replace the old one. Went into Whole Foods, got $300, came out, gave it to him. He gave me the box, put it in my car, drove home right away. Didn't go anywhere else. I forgot where I was going, but once I have the surround sound in my hand, I'm going home. I'm going to set this thing up. Didn't tell Liz. I walk into the back room, right? Liz had no idea I bought this thing already. And then put it all together. I played a movie in the back room. And Liz goes, what is that horrible sound? So ashamed. I walked out of that back room and told Liz, I said, I think I just got scammed. These are junky, crappy, if that's inappropriate, you see, using a sermon. Speakers. The full sound didn't even come out. I just got scammed for $300. And that sometimes in life my friend, that the world would put the shiniest thing, the best offer. This is going to solve your problems. This is going to solve, going to be your solution. This is going to be an immediate solution to your life. It makes you feel good. It's going to sound right. It's going to be just perfect in your home. And it's shiny and it's rainbows and unicorns type of stuff. But it will leave us disappointed by being scammed by this world. And I felt so bad. Why would someone do that? And I thought I had a good deal. But that's how the world works. It will throw the shiniest thing at you and telling you it's going to solve your problem today. And I bought it. And I was out $300. And back then, $300 was a lot of money. A lot of money. Especially for a single youth pastor. And here's the problem with us. We take the things of this world and we mix it with Jesus and we tag Jesus along with us and Jesus here, but we're leading the way, and then let's find everything that we need to find, and then forgetting that if Jesus is not fun, Jesus doesn't provide all the solutions that I need, Jesus doesn't turn this world into my liking, Jesus doesn't make my life in the way that I want it to be, then Jesus becomes just a tag along until we find happiness instead of Jesus being the cause of our contentment. And we do that all the time. And the wedding planner said, "You brought the best choice wine last." Because my love for sound and speakers and all that stuff. So I was a semi-famous DJ in high school. Known by like my 12 friends, right? I had a homemade system, two CD players where I changed the CD and carried around everywhere I went. So I was invited to DJ a CD release party. And back in the 90s, everybody had a CD release party, sounds like, right? Everyone had a CD and everyone had a recording studio, and I had a recording studio, my neighbor had a recording studio, the guy down the street had a recording studio, and every day we're in the studio making mixes. Because back in the 90s, everyone thinks they can have a party, make an album and get rich, right? It was so true, they had a meme for it. This is the meme right here. It said, "If you're having a bad day..." Can you bring up the meme? Okay. "If you're having a bad day, just remember someone from your hometown is still trying to become a rapper." That's how prevalent in having a record and a CD back then. If you're having a bad day, just know that someone from your hometown is still trying to become a rapper. So I was invited to DJ this party, a CD release, right? I have this friend, her name is Jay Tracy. She's a youth sponsor. I was in the youth group, and she knew I was a DJ. But this party needed a little bit more sound, so I had a couple extra speakers, but I didn't have a big enough car. So I said, "Miss Jay, can you give me a ride to this party so I can DJ to make some high school money, side hustle?" And she looked at me, she said, "This doesn't sound good to me." But she did it anyways, because her daughter was coming with me. We had the same circle of friends. So she said, "Okay, I'll give you a ride. I'll drop you off." Loaded up her van, went to the party, had a great time for about 5 minutes. And everyone started running. Woo, woo, woo. I'm hearing the siren outside. Everyone started running out of the party. I have no idea why, but everyone was running. It turns out the guy who was having the release party never rented the clubhouse. So someone called the cops because of the noise. So everyone is running. What do you think I was doing? I was stuck with my DJ system. So I'm walking, pulling my cables, wrapping stuff up, trying to put it away. The cops came in and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I was doing a favor for a friend. I had no idea that he didn't even rent the clubhouse." So the cop says, "Take your stuff, go outside, and call your ride." Miss J showed up 30 minutes later, right after she dropped us off, went home, came back. She was disappointed, but gracious. She laughed. She said, I told you, that doesn't sound good to me. So her daughter and I were just standing there waiting, right? Disappointed, but gracious. And as I'm writing this, like, isn't that how the world offers us sometimes? It seems like the best of times. It seems like we're having a lot of fun and the solutions to our problems, but oftentimes it leaves us empty, alone, on the side of the road of life, looking for a ride. And Jesus shows up in all our messes. Yeah, maybe he's a little bit disappointed in our decisions sometimes, but he is always gracious. And the wedding planner says, everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after. The guest has too much to drink, but you have saved the best until now. Culture, hear me out, church. Culture has reduced Jesus to like a motivational speaker, just a good man, an influential man. Some churches even downgrade the reverence of God. And some, sadly, deny him altogether. The event at Canaan gave us a clear picture of who Jesus was, what he was going to do, and how he was going to do it, and his whole life placed into this portrait at Canaan. And out of the empty jars, after 3 days, the wine ran out. This is the best last act of God. I want you to understand this. This is the greatest, best last act of God. The jar had water in it. Represents purification. The Jewish people would use the water inside the jar to wash themselves as cleanliness before they approached God. There were all kinds of empty jars that was laying around because remember, the wine ran out. Why did Jesus choose the 6 jars, which represents the imperfection of life, which represents the imperfections of you and I? And he put water in it, which was a temporary band-aid, and he turned into wine because his blood is the final best act of God to bring us back. The Apostle Paul died roughly late 55, 57, before John's letter made it to him. And he wrote this to the Corinthian church. He says, we have this treasure store in clay jars. Can you bring that up, Larry? The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, we have this treasure in clay jars. We are perplexed, persecuted all day long, but we're not broken. We are pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Next. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, but so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. I want you to understand this. The event at Canaan, it illustrates to us whatever is in this jar that Jesus did, it turns water into wine. It washes the sins of you and I forever and once and for all. So Paul has this idea. He says, the treasure was in there. And that treasure would serve to the guests. And that guest enjoy the final last act from God, which is what you and I are enjoying right now. So he says, for we who are alive, always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that in life may also, in his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is all work in us, but life is at work in you. I want you to understand this. The apostles went in such great length to write these things down in times of execution, in times of loneliness, in times of lack of families, lack of food, lack of resources, so you can understand what was in that jar. is the message of Jesus Christ, the water that turned into wine, which is blood, that wash away your sins once and for all. That's an amen. Come on, church. So the death that was in the apostles, it's life in us, because the treasure was in the jars. The six jars represents imperfections. The blood, the wine, made it perfect. So here's the cool part. At the very end of life, at the very end of Revelation, where John reveals something in Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride say, it's a wedding feast. The last act in the Bible was a wedding feast. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. That's for you and I. The invitation, it's open. Are you willing to invite Jesus into your own little world that you think it's perfect? And oftentimes it's going to leave you empty on the side of the road looking for a ride. And Jesus will show up. Maybe he's a little bit disappointed. I don't know. But I can guarantee you this. He will always be gracious, because the treasure possession, it's in there. And it's already been done. Amen? In front of you are these. We call it communion here at Connected Life Christian Church. And Jesus said, this is my body. For you, do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he said, this is the blood, the new blood of the covenant. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So as we take this every Sunday, I want you to know how special this is. It happened in Cana. It happened in Cana. So as we're here today, let's take this together. After we take this, we're going to go into a time of prayer and invitation at the same time. All the elders, let's have our elders come forward real quick. Let's come forward now. If you need prayers at all, and if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this could be your time. This could be your day. If you've been walking away from God and you said, you know, I'm like a hitchhiker right now. I need Jesus. I feel lost, empty, sitting on the side of the road, needing for a ride with my thumbs up. I'm inviting Jesus into my own little life today. If that's you, I'm inviting you to come forward. Meet me here. You've never been baptized. I'm inviting you to come forward. Meet me here. We have a baptistry in the back. If you need prayers at all, our elders are here to pray with you. But don't leave today. Miss this message. The treasure in clay jars that changes your life. Let's take this together. The band and Lewis come forward. Stay in your seats. Spend some time with God. If you need more prayer, if you need prayer by one of our elders, I'm inviting you up here. You never made a decision for God. I'm inviting you up here and say, I need Jesus in my life. What I need to do. We can baptize you here today. But don't walk away not making a decision. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. Thank you for your love and your grace. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.